We've been talking about the wonder of Christ. And here's where it begins, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We've been talking about the birth of Christ and the wonder of His birth. Today we come very near to the most astonishing thing that there has ever been. But he begins it by saying, this isn't theory. This isn't some highfalutin up there somewhere in the clouds thing. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How's your attitude today? I love that line from Facing the Giants. The attitude is the aroma of your heart. If we had noses that could smell spiritual smells, how much stench would there be? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and even under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Anybody ever accused you of being humble? Anybody ever accused you of being humble? When you or I are humble, we've got a lot to be humble about, don't we? In fact, when we're humble, we're just being realistic. Most of the time, we're being unrealistic. When we're not humble, we're just being unrealistic. David has a shirt that's one of those kind of wiseacre shirts that kids wear. And it has a blackboard on it with all kinds of doodling and things. And then in the caption underneath says, theorem proved, I am the center of the universe. And we kind of go, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But you know, the only reason we go, ha, 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 is because all too often we think that way, don't we? All too often we think that way. But I want you to think about that Jesus Christ was the center of the universe. Not in his imagination, not in puffing himself up. He was the center of the universe. You ever get weird thoughts? I get weird thoughts all the time. Here's one of the things I think. I was thinking about this. Do you know, anybody know how many brain cells you have? Left. Anybody know how many brain cells you have? If you're an average human being, the average human being has about 100 billion brain cells. 100 billion brain cells. But if that means that Jesus had 100 billion brain cells, there's more stars than that in our galaxy. Where did he fit? all the information for the names of all the stars? That blows my mind. I don't know if that affects you, but that just hits me. Because that's the mystery of Christ. He was, look at what it says here, in very nature, God. He was in very nature, God. He wasn't a spark of God. The Greeks had beings that were sort of gods. They called them demigods, like Hercules. They were part God and part man. But Jesus was not part God, because God is indivisible. What's infinity divided by two? Infinity. What's infinity divided by ten? Infinity. What's infinity divided by a billion? Infinity. It doesn't get any smaller. He was all of God in a brain with only 100 billion brain cells. Look at some of the descriptions that is given to this one who humbled himself. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Listen to this description of Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Now, what's he mean by that? No one can see God. All that we can see of God is hidden behind His glory. All that there is of God is hidden behind His glory, but the glory is a light that emanates from God and is so bright that that's all we can see is the radiance of His glory. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the radiance of God's glory. Remember Moses? Moses asked for something that no one else had ever had the kind of relationship with God to ask. Enoch didn't ask for it. Noah didn't ask for it. But God came to Moses and said, "Moses, what can I do for you?" And Moses said, "I want one thing. I want to see your glory." And God put him in a rock and said, "You can't look till after I pass by. You can just see the after image." You ever seen a jet, a military jet, and they have their jets on, and you can't see anything? It's so hot that there's nothing to be seen. I had a friend that was in the Coast Guard, and he was stationed on an aircraft carrier. The first thing that he was instructed by is, the instructor said, "Now the first rule of being on an aircraft carrier is you'll never walk behind a jet, even if you think it's not running." The guy had no hair. He said, "Herein I speak from experience." But when they really power up a jet, they kick in what are called the afterburners. And it dumps raw fuel out of the back and ignites it. And there's an explosion of flame. God hid Moses in that rock and went over top of him and let him see the explosion of flame that comes from His glory. And that Jesus Christ was. How do you put that in a human body? Is it any wonder? Look at what John says in John 1:14. Look at what John says in 1:14. Is it any wonder? that John says, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you have some grace? Do you have some truth? But Jesus was full of grace and truth. Second of all, He was eternal. First words of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 1, mirrors precisely the beginning of the Word of God. It mirrors precisely the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning. When was that? When was that? 1 billion years ago? 1 trillion? 1 quadrillion? No. Long before that. I can picture something lasting forever. But when I start thinking about never having a beginning, that just, you know, the circuits in my head just are going. How about you? Never had a beginning, and yet Jesus was there. The difference between the true God, the God of the universe, and the God of all the false religions is that God always existed. He always loved because there was always that triune God. The Father loved the Son. The Son loved the Spirit. The Spirit loved the Father. The Father loved the Spirit. The Son loved the Father. Always eternal love. That's why the Bible says God is love. Not God loves, God is love. Love eternally existing between the Father, Son, and Spirit because the Son was always there. There wasn't a day when the Father said, oh, I'll make a son, and the Son appeared. No, He was always there. He is the eternal. In the beginning was the Word. Always. He made everything. Look at Colossians 1:16. Look at Colossians 1:16. Look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by Him, Jesus, all things were created. Do you realize Jesus created the devil who tried to tempt Him? Is that nuts or what? For by Him all things were created, things in heaven. Every angel was created by Jesus. Do you comprehend the kind of realms that we cannot see that exist beyond our paltry eyes? That some of the saints of God and the Word of God have been privileged to see beyond that barrier. Remember when Daniel was praying and praying and praying in Daniel 9, and he wasn't getting an answer, and he wasn't getting an answer, and he wasn't getting an answer. And then suddenly Gabriel flies to him and says, from the moment you started to pray, I was sent. But there was a great battle between the king of Babylon or Persia by that point and he withheld me. And do you realize the realms we cannot see with our eyes, but Jesus made every one of them? That's what blows my mind. How did He hold that in a brain of 100 billion? 100 billion sounds like an awful lot, but when you think about that He held all of the knowledge of the universe in that brain of 100 billion cells, That blows my mind. Visible and invisible things, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by Him, but notice the rest, and for Him. You were made for Jesus Christ. 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 Every house in Gloucester County should be Jesus's by right. He should be the ruler of every house, every factory, every government office. It's all His. It was made for Him. And notice this. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. How many people have there been in the history of the world? Maybe 20 billion, something like that. He held the essence of every one of those 20 billion people together in His body. He saw the ants as they marched across the ground with carrying a piece of bread. He held together the mice that were scurrying across the floor. The lion in his jungle. The tiger in his tree. He stirred the soup of a gas giant like Jupiter with His finger. He lit the sun. And all that is lying in this little baby. We lose the wonder. It becomes commonplace. Yeah, I believe that. But we just lose the enormity. Look with me, Colossians chapter 2. Verse 3. Colossians 2, verse 3. Look, it starts right before Christ, the last word of verse 2. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures, everything you need, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We were studying last week in the Truth Project, about how our forefathers understood that all wisdom and knowledge was in Christ. So when they wrote the laws as revealed by God. And it's written right into all of their writings. Today we think that there's knowledge outside of Christ, but there's nothing. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to be smart? Get near Jesus. You want to be wise? Get near Jesus. You know how much? Can you imagine? You know, we just can't even picture how big the universe is. We have no clue. But can you imagine how much power it took to throw that out into space? We go, oh man, he is an athlete. Because you can throw a little ball about this long, 70 yards. Wow, what an arm on him. Or because he can shoot a basketball and hit a hoop from 30 feet away. Wow. Oh, and we'll spend hours watching. And here's the one that didn't throw a ball at 100 miles an hour. He threw a universe at the speed of light. It's Christmas time. Any of you husbands get called on for the husband Christmas duty? You know what the husband Christmas, maybe not Nick's house, but the husband Christmas duty is to stir the Christmas cookies. I don't know, some of you wives, do you do that? My wife, it's, honey, time to stir the cookies. You ever seen a picture of the Milky Way? How it spins? Can you imagine Jesus is the one that spins it? He's the one that stirs the stars. And do you know how exactly he does it? Here's how exact Jesus is. You know, I can remember cutting boards. When I was a kid, I was trying to make a treehouse. And you know, I'd cut the boards, and I'd measure, and I'd measure, and I'd measure, and the boards would go like this. You ever? Here's how exactly Jesus measures the galaxy. 7 digits is a million. 10 digits is a billion. 13 digits is a trillion. 16 digits is a quatrillion. 19 are a quintillion. 22 digits are a septillion. 25 digits, a one with 24 zeros, is a sectillion. 28 digits is an octillion. 31 digits is a nonillion. Jesus created protons and electrons, the little things that we can't even see, we just have to believe by faith that some scientists found them, that they're there. But Jesus created protons and electrons so exact that there's one more, or there's less than one more or less electron to proton out of not nanillions, 31 zeros, but out of 43 zeros. So out of one with 43 zeros after it, there's either 43 nines, or one with 42 zeros and a one, proton to electrons. And if it was even one more than that, the whole universe would blow apart. And the little baby laying in a manger did that. And then we come what, for me, just blows my mind. Anybody here like to be told you're good? Who here doesn't want somebody to pat you on the back and go, good job? Look at the scene in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation 5, 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, to hear that song. Wow. receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. Can you imagine Satan is going to have to sing this song? Every fallen angel, every rebellious person who is in hell saying, I won't believe in Jesus, I don't want Jesus, I'll ignore Jesus, every single one of them singing to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And you know, from the first angel that was created, Jesus lived with that kind of worship. We don't know when the angels were created. Long before this universe. But for the whole time they were created, those angels have done nothing but worship at His feet. And here's what Philippians 2:7 says. He made Himself nothing. We have trouble serving people. We have trouble saying, well, you know, I won't wait on. Who do you think you are that I should wait on you? This Jesus, who is everything that I've been describing and a trillion, trillion, trillion times more. This Jesus, He made Himself nothing. Taking, look at this word, the very nature of a servant. Not He pretended to be a servant. I heard a while ago these Hollywood idiots. It was kind of cool for these Hollywood idiots to pretend to be poor so they could sympathize with the lesser people. So they would pretend to be a hobo and dress up in dirty clothes and jump on a train and ride the rails. But how they'd sew a few $100 bills into the lining of their pocket or into the sole of the shoe, because, you know, if there was ever a problem, I want to bail out. Jesus didn't pretend. No bailing out. He took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Look with me, and we're almost done. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 5. This absolutely stuns me. Look at how much Jesus became a man. Look at how much He lowered Himself for you and I. Hebrews 5, 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Why would Jesus ever have to cry? Why would Jesus, who had made it all, who had the plan, who was, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, slain from the foundation of the earth, why would Jesus have to cry to the one who could save Him from death? And He was heard because of His reverent submission. although he was a son, he learned. Can you imagine this? Look at what it says. He learned. The very fact that Jesus could learn. How is that possible? He who knows everything, how could he learn? He learned obedience from what he suffered. You ever complain about your suffering? Can you believe the God of the universe learned from his suffering? Well, did the songwriter say, and so the Father's fondest thought put on flesh and bones. Can you imagine being God and hearing with your own ears people cursing at you? Anybody here ever been laughed at? Can you imagine God being laughed at? As he walked down the street hearing the snickers, you know about his birth. Did you hear the story? His mother claims an angel came to her. He emptied himself. Let me ask you. Here's what Philippians says should be our response. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Has your knee bowed to Jesus? Has your knee bowed to Jesus? There will come a day when it will bow, but today it should bow. Is your knee bowed to Jesus today? Are you willing to do whatever he says? Have you bowed your knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth? And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you really made Jesus Christ the Lord of your time, the Lord of your life? When you look at what Jesus did, how can you respond any other way? Paul says you can't. When you see what Jesus did, you just have to say, at the name of Jesus, oh, I bow. Have you bowed today? Or are you saying, I don't care what Jesus did, I'm going to do it my way? I don't care what Jesus did. My way is just as good. He humbled himself. Let's bow together. Lord, what a blasphemy it is that he who had no reason to be humble humbled himself, and we who have no reason to be proud exalt ourselves. What a travesty that he who was everything became nothing, and we who are nothing pretend we are everything. What stupidity that he who made it all didn't think being a God was something to be grasped at, but emptied himself. And we, who are a mere creation, a flick of time, a moment, and then we're gone. A being that has to eat and breathe and consume the light of the sun you made, that we would think that we're everything and the world ought to revolve around us. We grasp at what you didn't, though you had the right and we have none. Oh God, today in this room there are some of us who need to once again bow our knee to Jesus Christ. Oh, we may have said we've done it, but in recent time, we have unbowed that knee. We've stood up and said, okay, enough of that humbling ourselves. I'll be in charge now, and we need to re-bow that knee. Or maybe we said we bowed that knee, but in our hearts, we really haven't. We remain unbowed. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We need to reaffirm Jesus is Lord. I'm not Lord. I'm not in charge. Not my way, His way. What a child. Lord, today I pray that you would work in every heart here. That you would bring conviction. You would bring repentance, the gift of repentance. That you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear that we might really understand these impossible thoughts. In Jesus' name.